time. Okay, let's learn a little bit. We are going to try to finish up the discussion about the structure of doorways, where on the door to put the mezuzah, how to put the mezuzah on the door, and then we move on to what kinds of doors are chayiv in mezuzah. Someone just asked me last week, what about an arched doorway? We keep on talking about the tchila shlusha elyon. How do you figure out the tchila shlusha elyon in an arched doorway? When it's two straight things, right? So there is a halach about this, there is a gemara about this. So again, as we move forward, it is important that you have seen all the gemaras. All the gemaras constitutes Lamed Gimel and Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. So as well as Yumad Daf Yud Aleph is also important to see. As you go, it'll be in the Mar Mekomos, but you know, it's going to be a little bit all over the place when we discuss the various halachos. So let's pick up where we left off. So we had a discussion about the Tchila Shlusha Elyon. The Gemara had a machlokas. The Rambam had a strange idea that you dafka lechatchila have to put it at the beginning of the top third of the doorway. We weren't sure where the Rambam got that from in the Gemara, because it sounded like it could either be anywhere in the top third or anywhere in the doorway except for the top tefach or bottom tefach. Where does he get that it's mitzvah l'nicha b'tchila shlusha elyon? So that was a little bit difficult, and we had the different dayos of how the Rambam read that into the Gemara. However he read it into the Gemara, that's the halach in Shulchan Aruch. The halach in Shulchan Aruch, the beginning of the top third of the doorway is where the mezuzah belongs. Now, what if you put the mezuzah lower than the top third of the doorway? This is going to come into play a lot when we discuss arched doorways, because let's assume for a second, because it's true, that there's a machlokas about arched doorways. So you say, okay, we'll just be machmir. Well, what does being machmir mean? If you're putting it too low according to one shita, is that a psul according to the other shita? Too high according to one shita, is that a psul according to the other shita? You have to figure out what you're giving what you're giving up according to one shita when you're trying to be machmir for the other shita. So it's important to know. And anyway, stam, if you see the mezuzah that's too low, it's important to know, are we yotzei the mitzvah at all or not? So in source number 35, the Torah writes, ulamat mizah ashir lo yanichena, av mizah ashir lamaluhu hakol mekom adamashko. Now the lashon is, lo yanichena, don't place it underneath the top third. He does not say, minicha lamat mishlusha elyon psula. He just says, lo yanichena, you shouldn't place it there. It's still okay if you do place it there. Says the Beis Yosef in source number 31, back in 31, says the Beis Yosef toward the end over there, v'harav rabbeinu manoch kasav shenira lo she'im kava lamat mishlusha elyon ksheira ubevat sheti rechokim in the mitzvah shlusha tefachim. That it's got to be, it can be under the top third of the doorway. And that's what the Torah implies as well. However, Zakta Beis Yosef, V'lo Nihira, I don't think it's correct. The Rambam sounds like anywhere underneath the top third is Pasul. And he says, and that's what the impression I get from the Gemara, says the Beis Yosef. That's the impression I get from the Pashut reading of the Brisa in the Gemara, that underneath the top third is going to be possible. Where does he see it in the Rambam? Where does he get it from the Rambam? So if you look in the Rambam, where's the Rambam? Yeah, in source number 28, so he says, V'heichem kov mesem mezuzah b'toch hol shal pesach b'tefach ha-samach l'chutz b'tchila shlusha elyon shal gova ashar, it should be at the beginning of the top third, v'im kova l'mala mizek sheira. If you put it anywhere higher than that, that's also kosher. What does the Rambam not say? That if you put it lower, it's kosher. The Rambam only says if you put it higher, it's kosher. It makes it sound like if you put it lower, it's pasul. So we have on our hands a bona fide machlokas rishonim. Is putting it lower than the top third kosher pasul? Beis Yosef says the Rambam sounds like it's definitely pasul. The Torah clearly that it's kosher. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, not so fast. I'm not convinced that the Rambam holds that it's possible when it's beneath the Shlusha Elyon. The Aruch HaShulchan, source number 36, Resh Pei Tes Yud Gimel, Avla Ani Azdaiti Ein Hechru Midivir HaRambam, Din Perek Vav Din Yud Beis B'din Shlusha Elyon Lo Hiskir Klal Din Lamatim Yizah Pasul. He says, it's nice, you have a good diuk, that Lamala is kosher. So we want to be Medayik, Lamata is pasul. But the Ram never says that, and that's an important halacha, because that probably comes up all the time. So if that were true, the Ramam should have said that it's pasul. It's not like the Rambam is shy about telling you when there's a psul in the mezuzah. He tells you Tal B'Makalos Pasul, so why wouldn't he tell you about this? Why wouldn't he tell you lower than the Shulsha Elyonos Pasul? So what's the issue over here? What's going on over here? What's the Machlokas about within the Rishonim? So we discussed last week a little bit about the whether there's a requirement to dafka put in the Tchila Shlisha Elyon or anywhere in the Shlisha Elyon. So the Maharam Bennett Al Hamordechai, quoted by this fancy Masifta de Gemara in the Yalkut Biurim, says as follows, that this is Talui in that Machlokas Rambam and the Rosh. According to the Rosh, according to Shmuel, the way the Rosh understood Shmuel's din, even l'chadchila you could be koveya the mezuzah anywhere in the Shlisha Elyon, right? So if you could be koveya the mezuzah anywhere in the Shlisha Elyon, what was the lashon of the Gemara when the Gemara says that it should be placed in the Shlisha Elyon, right? What was Shmuel's lashon? We have it over here. Mitzvah lahaniach b'tchila Shlisha Elyon. It's a mitzvah. Mitzvah implies l'chadchila, that's what you should do, but b'dievet it would still be okay. Right? That's what the word mitzvah implies. L'chadchila, that's what's best. So whenever you say l'chadchila, this is what's best, it's implying b'dievet something else is okay. What's the something else that's okay? Mitzvah l'anicha b'tchila shlisha aliyah. So according to the Rosh, the l'chadchila dikadin is to put it anywhere in the shlisha aliyah. Anywhere in the top. That's all l'chadchila. That's all the mitzvah. So what's kasher b'dieved? Must be everything else is kasher b'dieved. That lower than the shlisha elyon is going to be kasher b'dieved. Whereas according to the Rambam, no. The mitzvah la'anicha is not, the emphasis is not on the word shlisha elyon, the emphasis is on the word b'tchilas shlisha elyon according to the Rambam. What's the mitzvah l'chadchila? Not anywhere in the shlisha elyon according to the Rambam, only at the beginning of the shlisha elyon. So if that's the Rambam Shita, so what's the b'dieved? What's b'dieved okay? What's the implied b'dieved? When you say it's a mitzvah to put it at the beginning of the top third, implication is b'dieved, it's okay too? So it could very well be, and the Rambam says this explicitly, b'dieved it's still okay in the rest of the top third. But the Rambam's not talking at all about the bottom two-thirds of the door. That's not the concept. It's posh to Shmuel, we're dealing only with the top third. That's the only thing that's in bounds. Within that area, mitzvah b'tchila shlisha elyon. B'dieved, the rest of the shlisha elyon is also good. So it comes to tell you that, and therefore, there's no hechrech whatsoever to say that the bottom two-thirds are kosher. So this works out l'shitasam perfectly. The Rosh, and the Torah, you would imagine, follows the sheet of his father, the Rosh, holds that the tchila shlisha elyon, putting it somewhere in the Shlisha Elyon is not ma'akev, even under the Shlisha Elyon is okay, because the Rosh holds b'tchila Shlisha, the Rosh holds the entire Shlisha Elyon as well, the l'chadchila. So something's got to be b'dieved. What's b'dieved? The bottom two-thirds of the doorway. Whereas the Rambam l'shitaso holds that no, there's only one l'chadchila place along the doorway, and that is the tchilas Shlisha Elyon. So what's the b'dieved area? Doesn't have to be under that. The b'dieved area is on top of that. Is above the Tchilas Shlisha Elyon, is along the rest of the Shlisha Elyon. That would be how the Shittas HaRambam would work out. So that's what seems to be the Machlokes Rishonim. And again, Shulchan Aruch seems to always use the Lashonos of the Rambam. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Resh Pei Tes Beis, which is here somewhere, I think. It's got to be. 34, like I said. Okay, says the Shulchan Aruch, Eizem Makom Kviyasa B'tochal Shal Pesach B'tefach Chasamach B'chutz B'tchila Shlisha Elyon Gova Ashar V'mkava L'mal Mizak Shera V'usheich Kena Me'amash B'tefach Tzorak V'al Yimina Nichnas. And the Ramah has nothing to say about it, about that prat, about the Tchila Shlisha Elyon. So what's he doing? Calls the exact lashon of the Rambam. So it would seem that according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you put it lower than the top third of the doorway, you may have a problem. Maybe puzzle. According to the Beis Yosef, it is puzzle. Or Chashulchan says, I'm not convinced that that's what the Ram means, but certainly the way Maram Bennett understands this Lashitasam, that yeah, would be puzzle if it's underneath the top third. So we have to realize we're playing with fire. When we say that, oh, let's, if we were to say somewhere along our discussions, just put it lower to be safe, because if you put it too high, it might be puzzle. Realize putting it too low might be a puzzle also. And in our discussions of very high doorpost. Putting it too low is not just, ah, okay, it's no problem, I can reach it, it's fine. No, if it's too low, it could very well be possible. Yeah.
How does the Rosh read B'tchil HaShel Ayon? How would that refer to the whole Tafer?
So we said that as a harchaka, that's just to make sure you don't hit the top tefach, something like that.
Not
that's
reading the words very carefully, though.
Meaning,
tchilas is harchaka is coming to modify.
Right. But meaning meikra din, it's all the chachila dika area for mezuzah. As long as the mezuzah ends up in that area. Okay, so that is the halacha in terms of putting the mezuzah any lower. Now, let's get to very high doorways. Very often in yeshivas or in shuls or, you know, certain, mostly in houses you don't have this, but so you have extremely high doorways. So what do you do when you have an extremely high doorway? I think like by Shar Yashiv. Any of you have been like by Shar Yashiv, have these huge arches in the front, right? You know what I'm talking about? You see that? What? And the mezuzah is like at normal height. Now, if they were to do the tchilas shel Yon, it would be like 30, 40 feet off the ground. So the question is, what's correct? To kick off the discussion, take a look at the Taz. The Taz in Resh Petas of Katan Gimel, toward the end over there, in source number 37. Umvor Beis Yosef Shem Mordechai, De'imi Gavoa Harbe. Beis Yosef quotes from the Mordechai, if it's very high, Ein Laso Samazuza Gavoa Mikseifav. Don't make the mezuzah any higher than your shoulders. Why can't it be higher than your shoulders? Because if it's higher than your shoulders, you won't see it when you go in and out. So it sounds like a stira minei ube. Because you know what else is higher than my shoulders? Besides that mezuzah that might be higher than my shoulders? My eyes are higher than my shoulders. Almost always. So I'm not going to see it if it's higher than my shoulders. How high are we talking? What does he mean? Does he mean don't put it much higher than your shoulders? Or don't put it any higher than your shoulders. And let's say the Tchilas Shel Elyon is way above my head. So should I put it as high as I can while I can still see it? Or just put it by my shoulders? Is there a din in shoulders? What's the din over here? And what? If Tchilas Shel Elyon is at the height of my eyes, then I put it by my shoulder length? My shoulder height? Or I put it by my eye height? Sounds like a stira in the mashmas. He says, first, as long as it's very high, don't put it higher than your shoulders, because then you won't see it. Smach ledover, says the Taz, very interesting, a smachta, by the pasuk of the bracha to Binyamin, ubein ksefav shachem, that he resides between his shoulders. What's the pasuk trying to tell us about Binyamin? Says the Taz, what the pasuk is trying to tell us, that Binyamin has divine assistance, unlike anybody else. Whereas everybody else has divine protection from the mezuzah, so we literally have divine protection only across from our shoulders when we walk through the doorway, Binyamin lives an entire lifetime of divine protection, so it's ki'ilu, he lives bein k'seifav, because that's where all the protection is bein k'seifav. So he lives in the protected area, he lives in the area with the highest concentration of the Shekhinah. The Taz is saying this as a remez and a smachta. This is not a raya. It's not, shouldn't be taken for anything more than that. You have to know how to discern between what's a strong proof la halacha and what's just a remez, a nice way to remember it, nice idea. This is not a raya la halacha. It's a nice idea. It's nothing more than that. It's like when we had that tcheles discussion and one of the tcheles people came out with how on the light spectrum the color of the tchelis is exactly 613 on some sort of spectrum. So, you know, the anti-tchelis people went crazy on that. What kind of raya? That's ridiculous. It is ridiculous if you view it as a raya. If you don't view it as a raya, just as a, it's no worse than any other gematria you probably ever heard in your life. You know, it's a gematria like any other. Okay, so that's the Taz. Now the question is, in order to discuss this intelligently, aside from the asmachta and whatever, in order to discuss this halachically, we need to find out why Tchilas Shlisha Elyon. Where does the Tchilas Shlisha Elyon come from? And if those reasons then carry forward to a very high doorway, is there a din in Shlisha Elyon? If it's a din in Shlisha Elyon, then it should apply no matter how high the doorway. Right? If it's a din in the door, Shlisha Elyon of the door, then it should apply no matter how high the doorway. But if it's a din in where the Shlisha Elyon normally is, klape me, It's a din in the gavra, a din in the person who walks through. So then it should be totally in the average size of a person, not in the size of this humongous doorway. Right? So we need to understand, in order to discuss any of this, we need to understand what's the source, what's the idea behind Shlisha Elyon. So a couple of ideas. The Marsham in Shuvachel Gimel Sim Reshit Tes, source number 38, brings this back to the Gemara's comparison, Ukshartam La'osal Yadecha, Ksavtam La'mzuzus Be'secha Vishurecha, that the just like the Kshira is Begova, the Gemara said, so to the Ksiva is Begova. That's where we get the Shlisha Elyon. So what's that Kshira Begova all about? What does that mean, Kshira Begova? So says Marasham in the Tshuva, again, toward the end of this Tshuva over here, in it's a short Tshuva, but toward the end of it, about 5-6 lines before the end. So he writes, Vinoda, Da'akesha B'shel Yad Hi Keneged Alev. So he says, let's take a look at tefillin. What does it mean? We're learning it from tefillin. We're learning about the ukshatim of tefillin. He says, first of all, it's got to be about the shaliyad, not the shal rosh, because the ikar mitzvah kshira is on the shaliyad. As someone pointed out to me last week, the pasuk that we're quoting is ukshartem laos al yadecha vayul totafos beinecha. That's beinecha, but ukshartem, the ikar mitzvah kshira seems to be on the yad. So the Marasham says, let's assume like that shita. We saw this in Machlokes Rishonim about this. But let's assume like that shita that it's about the tefillin shel yad, because that makes more sense. What's the real reason that you put the shel yad where you put the shel yad? It has nothing to do with your hand. Unbelievable, right? It's we're saying you put it on the gova shel yad, but it's not because of your hand. It's because it's keneged alev. The parallel is remarkable. When you put 2/3 up the doorway, it's not because of the doorway. What's it because of? What's across from that part of the doorway? So if let's say a person were, you know, shaped very funny, and his arms were shaped in such a way where, I don't know how it would work out, or his heart was in the wrong part of his body or something, right? Rachman al-Tzlan, where it would turn out that his arms were not directly across from, you know, the proper Malkum Til is not directly across from his heart. I don't know how it would happen. So would you then adjust the Malkum HaTfilin? So anyway, let's see what he says. So he says, the idea of the Shaliyad is that it should be connected to the Lev, like it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Medrash Rabbi Shemos Perek Beis, B'la Basayish, Mishnei Chalakav Shal Snel, L'malik, Shem Shal Lev, Nosem Mishnei Chalakav Shal Adam, L'mala, whatever, some comparisons of the Snel. I am going to rub myself some 9 Gimel. Ooh, what's that? I don't know what that abbreviation is. Perek Tos de Brachos, anyone know? No? I have no idea. Halakha Beis, Shlo hiviu mize, umize nilma deksiva dumi dekshira shetzarach lios mitzchila shlisha elyon lamala, that it's from the kshira, and therefore he says. He doesn't go on to explain. But let's assume that that's the let's make that comparison ourselves, that if the idea of the gova of the arm relates to the lave, relates to what it corresponds to, and not to what it is on the arm itself, one could argue the gova of the mezuzah relates to what it corresponds to, and not to where it is on the doorpost itself. So when you have an extremely high doorpost, if it no longer corresponds to something, or the person that's walking through, well then maybe we have to adjust it. Perhaps. That's one possibility. Any other reasons for Tzchila Shlisha Elyon? So the Avnei Nezer suggests something else. If you look in the Avnei Nezer, in source number 39, there are a few, it's all the same tshuva, but I broke it up into little pieces. So source number 39, Os Gimel in that tshuva. V'im tomar, im Shlisha Elyon gvoa harbi, mikom lakom lomi yoriden kol kacha kenek seva. So basically the shaila is, if the gate is very high, why would you lower it to kenek seva? So says the Avnei Nezer, nearly the Haina Taima. Devadei ein mitzvah rak b'shlish elyon. The whole mitzvah is only in the shlish elyon. Ach, why? Ach, mishum deksiv beischa derech biyascha. Well, he says, the din of shlish elyon, nothing to do with tefillin. The din of shlish elyon is because beischa derech biyascha. What does that mean? You're supposed to put the mezuzah al mezuzah beischa. What's beischa? Derech biyascha. As you're walking in. Echoes of the Rambam. What's the whole purpose of mezuzah? To remind you while you're walking in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here to protect you. It's all one big system of reminders of the presence of the Shekhinah. So, Yesh Lefari Shlish Elyon Shel Biaso, Hainu Gova Komaso. Says the Shlish Aliyah should really be 2/3 up the human body. That's where you're going to see it best. Once you're above your height, then you shouldn't even cheshbon in the Shlish Aliyah anymore, says Yevne Nezer. Because once you're above the height of a person, then you're not, it's not Derech Biyascha. So the Shlish Aliyah is all within Derech Biyascha. So maybe what the Avnei Nezer said is like this: I'm not denying kshira and makshira begova, so to ksiva begova, but begova what? It's not in the gova haPesach; it's in the gova biascha shel adam besoch haPesach. So it's 2/3 up your own height. That's the ikur din. Says, but elamai, most doorways aren't exact. If I'm 5'9", most doorways are not 5'9.5". And if I'm whatever 6 feet tall, doorway is not 6'5". So we make doorways roughly 6'8", I think, is the standard, because you know, unless you play power forward, you know, for the most part, that's high enough. So, since it's high enough for most people, that's the average, 6'8", whatever, that most people. So, says that Nezer, so if the doorway is not obscenely high, you know, it's made so that normal human beings can fit through, so then you measure 2/3 up the doorway as opposed to 2/3 up the person, but it's really a din in the person. It's just that if the doorway is not crazy, it was clearly made for a person to fit through, so you could measure with the doorway. Because it's all considered one Pesach, all for the person. When you see those arches outside of Shari Yashiv, they did that so people could fit there. It's obviously not so people could fit there. For design, for whatever. Maybe they want to bring in an airplane. I don't know. Whatever the reasons are, they didn't do it for people to fit through. So Mela, if the din of Shlosh Elyon is the din in Derech Biyascha, in a person, so that doesn't go into the Cheshbon. Then you'd go back to the Shlosh Elyon of the person. And that's where he says we get the shoulder height from. So it turns out, if you understand like the Marsham, that it's totally in the lave, so you can make a very cogent argument that a very high doorway should not be in the top third. And also if you understand like the Avnei Nezer, that it's not about the lave, but it's about Derech Biyascha, you could also make a very strong argument that if it's a very high doorway, it should be where you can access it, where you can see it, where it's connected biyascha. So it turned out, according to both reasons l'chora of these achronim, that it should be lower down. Zok Tosfos, top Tosfos lamed gimel and beis, umay tchila shlosh aliyon dekamel archika she yoser lo yachikad min atikra ubirushalmi mashma perik basra de megillah. I lived this perik basra, not perik beis, because someone looked it up. Digsha Pesach Gavoa Harbe Manicha Knegas Seifav. Good. I'm happy with that, right? We want the Yerushalmi to say that because that fits in beautifully with the Marsham and the Avnei Nezer. Then says Tosfos, V'cholek al Hashash Shalanu. That Yerushalmi is against our Gemara, it's against Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli says, apparently, somewhat explicitly somewhere, that a very high doorway does not get Shlosh Elyon. I mean, does get Shlosh Elyon of the doorway, does not get Kseifav. Problem is, we don't know what Tosfos is talking about. How does he see this? Cholik on the Talmud Bavli. This is the Sugya. It's nowhere else in Shas. It's here. Menachos Lamed Gimel. We saw it all. We read through the whole Gemara last time. Never once talks about a very high doorway. Never once. So where does he see that? It's Cholik al Shash Alanu. So, okay, that's Shitas Tosfos. We'll put it aside for a second. So Shitas Tosfos is, now, if Tosfos, I said Shitas Tosfos, all Tosfos did is he reported. He said, Yerushalmi says Ksefav, the Bavli would hold, that it would still be Tchilas Shlosh Elyon. Is Tosfos paskening? So it doesn't sound like it, but what's the rule? Bavli versus Yerushalmi, Halacha, Bavli. We always pass on like the Bavli. The riff at the end of Erevin says it's because Hilchas HaKabasra'a, and the Bavli came later than the Yerushalmi, so they knew everything the Chachamim of the Yerushalmi said, and then they just built on that, so they had a more educated opinion because they knew what the other party said. That's always the rule in Halacha. Whenever one party knows what the other party has to say first, their opinion is considered to be more of a cogent and thought-out opinion. That's why, for instance, That's the Svar of Hilchos Basra, is that we're midgets standing on the shoulders of giants, that we have everything that they gave us in previous generations, and then we're able to get that perspective and formulate an opinion. That's why we pass on the Pesil of Beishamai. The Mishnah says, because Makdivin Duri Beishamai Devrayim, they always let Beishamai go first. So Beisil had a more educated opinion, because when you hear the other side first, you're able to formulate an opinion much, much better. That's why the halacha is, let's say, in Mishnayos and Sanhedrin, if you have two dayanim that say that Reuven owes Shimon $100, and the third dayan says Eini Yodea, what's the halacha? Anyone know? So if two dayanim say he owes him money, one dayan says Pater, what's the halacha? Two dayanim say Chayiv, one says Pater, halacha is Chayiv, majority rules, right? Two dayanim say Chayiv, one says I don't know, so you would think, okay, well then for sure he's chayiv, right?
Yeah.
What's the halacha? No. We add two more dayanim. My high. Why would you add two more dayanim? Even if this guy said the other way, you would pass in chayiv, right? So pashtus is, well, there are a couple of explanations, but one of the explanations might be that the shita of the two dayanim that said chayiv is not a viable shita unless the third dayan was heard. If he didn't have something to say, then their shita is not a viable shita. An educated opinion only comes out from pilpul chaverim, from hearing what other people have to say. That's a yisod. It comes up throughout Shas. At the beginning of Hari also comes up. Ramban discussed at the beginning of Sefer Mitzvot. It's all over the place. That, for instance, when you have a yachid versus a rabbim, I'll go off for a second now, but we'll come back. When you have a yachid versus a rabbim, the halach is always like the rabbim, right? That not only in two versus one, just in general, machlokas and maposkim. 500 years ago, there was a major machlokas about smicha. Familiar with this controversy? They wanted to reinstitute the smicha because there's a Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos in Sanhedrin, where the Rambam says that how are we ever going to reinstitute smicha? Everyone's dead. Everyone that had smicha is dead. What we have now is not smicha. What we have now is called heter ora, has nothing to do with smicha. That's a gemara at the beginning of Sanhedrin, yari yari yadin yadin. What we have now is instituted because the people who were teaching halacha according to the gemara daf hei in Sanhedrin were not didn't articulate well, and they would say things like may betzaim is zayna machshirim lekabel tuma, and they said betzaim but they really meant betzim, and because they didn't articulate well, people made major mistakes in tuma and tahara. So they said, okay, we need to institute some sort of program where before you paskin halacha you need permission to paskin, and it was really just a speech test. Obviously you're not going to paskin if you don't know the halacha. That was like a davar pashut, but you know, at least to be able to articulate, to be able to share, you know, to share your Torah and give your pesachim in a clear manner. But that's not smicha. Smicha is ish mipiyish from Moshe Rabbeinu to give smicha, to be able to be dan dine knasos, to be able to give chiyuvei misa, to sit on Sanhedrin. That's smicha. So the Rambam says, how are we ever going to do that? Oh, who says we're ever going to do it again? Maybe after Tchias HaMesim we'll do it. So the Rambam says, no, it can't be after Tchias HaMesim, because the Seder HaDvarim is we need to build the Beis HaMikdash first, before Tchias HaMesim. And in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, you need a Sanhedrin. So no one's qualified. How's that ever going to happen? So the Rambam says that the way it's going to happen is you get everybody together, kol chachmei Yisrael, they're maskim to give one person smicha, and they can start smicha. The das of all the klal Yisrael, as represented by kol chachmei Yisrael, can give somebody smicha. Remarkable. So they decided to do it 500 years ago. Why did they decide to do it? After the Inquisition, people were Moranos, people were living lives publicly as Christians and privately as Jews, and they felt that they did things that they were chayv malchus for, and they didn't want to have to go up achar meiv esrim shana or sooner, because they thought they might have been chayv kares actually, so they didn't want to go up after less than 60 years and be nichras meil mazeh meil maba. So the halach is that chayv ikrisu shalaku, someone's chayv kares gets malchus. It's a kapara for his kares. He's pater from his kares. So people came to the Rabbanim saying, we desperately want you to give us malchus. The Rabbanim said, we can't. We don't have smicha. We're powerless to give you malchus. So, but we want malchus. So they decided, a chesed, to reinstitute smicha. I don't know if they actually gave malchus now. I don't know that part of the story. But they reinstituted smicha. So who had smicha? Some renegade rabbis? The Al-Sheikh, the Beis Yosef, the Marl Bach, That, several major rabbanim had smicha. All the Chachmei Tzfat got together, and they conferred smicha. People went on for a few generations, died out eventually, went on for a couple of generations. Chachmei Yerushalayim got wind of this, and they said, it's crazy, you can't do this. You're not allowed to do this. And they had a whole, there were contrasim written back and forth as to whether it was permitted or not permitted. So the Chachmei Tzfat said, well, the Rambam says, Kol Chachmei Yisrael, Rubo Kikulo, we are the majority of Chachmei Yisrael, because the rabbis in Tzfat, that was really the Torah center of the world. We are the majority of the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, so we win. So you're right, we didn't consult you, but it doesn't matter, because you follow the majority anyway. So the tiny back from the Chachmei Yerushalayim wasn't, no, we're greater, like it would be today if that same machlokas was gone. It wasn't, we're greater. It was, of course you're greater. You're the Beis Yosef. I mean there's no shayla. Of course you're greater. But, A, it's not so poshut that the Rambam says Rov is good enough, because the Rambam's lashon is Kol. But even if Rov is good enough, when do you follow Rov? And this is why I'm mentioning this whole story. When do you follow Rov? Only when the minority's opinion was heard. If you never heard the sheet of the minority opinion, then the Rov is worthless. And you never asked us. If you would have asked us and we said no, and then you decided to do it, then you'd be fine. But you didn't ask us, you just did. Without hearing our opinion. So mainly, your whole opinion was an error. This is the concept that if you have... So that's the concept of Hilchos Kabbasraya as well. So the Rif claims, that's why we pass him like Bavli over Yerushalmi. Why? Because Bavli's better than Yerushalmi? No, says the Rif. Although the Netziv in his Hakdama to Pirush and the Sheiltos, we discussed some point during the year, has different ideas about what distinguishes the Bavli from the Yerushalmi. But the Rif says, no, it's just that Bavli came later. Historically, it's questionable whether the Bavli really knew everything that it says in Yerushalmi. But anyway, that we always pass like the Bavli against Yerushalmi. So when the Tosus tells you, innocently, the Yerushalmi says you put a Keneged Ksefav and the Bavli is Cholek, he's not just reporting, he's giving you a Shita LaHalacha. Shita LaHalacha is, we always pass like the Bavli against Yerushalmi, end of story. So therefore, says the Tosos, put it in the top third of the doorway, even in the Shayashav doorways, even in those giant archways. Top third. Says the Kesem Mishnah, not Machlokas, he says. Machlokas Rishonim. Ravid holds like the Yerushalmi. And the Rambam never makes any mention of this. So the Rambam holds like the Bavli. Now again, where in Bavli does it appear? Nowhere, but that's exactly the point. Because the Bavli, all the Talmud Bavli told us is put it Tchilas Shlisha Elyon. If there was a halacha that when you have 30-foot high doorways that you're supposed to not put it at the 21st foot, but you're supposed to put it connected to your shoulders, don't you think the Bavli should have said something? Elamayim, there must be no such halacha according to the Bavli. That's what Tosfos means when he says the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. So then that's what the Rambam also said. The Rambam reports what the Bavli said. The Rambam passes like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. So that's the Machlokas Rishonim, Rambam and the Ravid. The Bach, source number 42, quotes from the Mordechai this Safek. And what's at the root of the Safek? It's a very fascinating Shaila in general. When you have a Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi. When you have, I'm sorry, Yerushalmi saying something and Bavli remaining silent. When it's a Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, everyone agrees you pass like the Bavli. Tosus calls this a Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, but it's not exactly. It's Yerushalmi saying something and the Bavli not saying anything. So what's Yerushalmi for, if not to paskin in the cases where the Bavli doesn't talk about? I mean, when do we ever paskin like the Yerushalmi if you're not going to paskin like the Yerushalmi when the Bavli is silent? So the Ikar Suffolk over here is this a good? Is this the case to paskin like the Yerushalmi because the Bavli doesn't say anything? Everyone agrees that the rule is you pass like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. That's when the Bavli says something. So the Ikar Suffolk is, do you paskin like the Yerushalmi over here because the Bavli says nothing? Or do you say, no, the Bavli didn't say nothing? The Bavli's implication is so strong, even though it didn't say it explicitly, the implication is so strong that it's clearly not connected to Sefer, that it's always got to be Tchilas Shlisha Elyon. Why is the implication so strong? It's too big for the Bavli to have left out. It was talking, when the Yerushalmi says a din out of left field that's never discussed, a whole case that's never discussed in the Bavli, fine, then we'll pass on with the Yerushalmi. But over here, the Bavli was talking about where on the doorway to put the mezuzah. And it came to a maskana tchila shlisha elyon. Shouldn't it have mentioned something that's not always the case? Bamed var mamurim, the Bavli should have said, when it's a normal height doorway. The fact that the Bavli didn't say is the Bavli paskining against the Yerushalmi. That's what's really at root over here. The Bavli doesn't say anything beforeish, but it strongly implies. So that is the discussion in the Rishonim. So how do we paskin the halacha? So if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, Aruch HaShulchan in source number 44, toward the end of that, he writes, quotes the Yerushalmi, quotes the Numa from the Yerushalmi, the Mordechai like the Yerushalmi, Gedolei Ha'achronim Kar Yerushalmi, Levush, the Shach. Then he says, but our Tosos is against the Yerushalmi. However, he says, there's another factor over here. The Yerushalmi, you looked it up, right? Yeah. What does Yerushalmi say? What does Yerushalmi say over there?
It says Shai Gavoa, so then you would do it big.
And what is the line either right before that or right after that? I saw it in the Yerushalmi. What did it say? That they did it?
They did it in the
Beis Medrash of somebody.
Yeah.
That they did Bein Ksefav. There's another rule in Klalei Pesach. It's good to know Klalei Pesach. Another rule in Klalei Pesach. And that is that when you have a machlokas, this one says theoretically that, and this one says theoretically the other way. Oh, and by the way, not just theoretically, I saw it being done once by Hillel Shammah, whatever, by someone big. So that leans the scales a little bit in favor of the tzad that has a Maisa Rav. A Maisa Rav means something, Psak Halacha. So if we're not sure what to do, is the Bavli really against the Yerushalmi? Bavli is not against the Yerushalmi. Should we pass on the Yerushalmi? Should we not pass on the Yerushalmi? The Bavli doesn't say a word. The Yerushalmi not only says the Shita, it tells you that it was actually practiced, that it was actually done. That tips the scales in favor of the Yerushalmi. Yeah.
Why should that make a difference? If the Yerushalmi doesn't quote any day that's holy guy, obviously in Israel at the time they would have passed on that way.
No, but it's quoting from Gedolei Amoraim.
In Eretz
Yisrael, yeah.
So that shouldn't be a riot, though, because if the whole idea is like riff that the...
No, I'll give you a mashal. When I was in Rosh Hashir, he was talking about Chukas Akum once, and he was saying how Chukas Akum means, according to one of the Shitas, any davar she'in botan. There is no logical reason why we do it. So he said, for instance, if the French like French fries, it doesn't become Chukas Akum just because the French like to eat French fries, or the freedom like to eat freedom fries. If they don't, it's not just it doesn't become Chukas Akum because they taste delicious, and if they taste delicious, so that's a very good reason. It has tam, as he said. But he said, and he picked up his tie, he said, wearing a tie, there's no reason for that. It's not comfortable, doesn't make it anything. It's just, that's purely fashion statement. That's Chukas Akum. That's what he said in Shir. He was trying to illustrate the point. Now, does he hold the tie as Chukas Akum? If he did, I would hope he wouldn't wear one. So when you say something in the Beis Medrash, you can say it and mean it as a, you know, the construct of the halacha, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the halacha, l'maisa. When someone, you have a maisa rav, someone actually did something, so then it shows you they were much more serious about that shita. So even if the Bavli is cholik on the Yerushalmi, the maisa rav helps the Yerushalmi side.
But according to the Rif, the Bavli was exposed to everything Yerushalmi did. That supposes that they may have even done that in practice.
If the Bavli openly quoted it and rejected it, that's one thing. The Bavli didn't. It just didn't say anything. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan goes on to say, or someone goes on to say, maybe it's not the Aruch HaShulchan. Yeah, no, the Aruch HaShulchan. V'tzorech lomar ma'asha asha shalonu lo hiskir zeh, mishum demilsa tepshitihi. The Bavli doesn't say it, because of course. It's not a pashut. What's the Shlosh Elyon? It's not magic. Shlosh Elyon, so you could see the mezuzah on your way in. So it's a davar pashut. Shayesh mi shesover de tefach l'mala me'akarka die. There's even a shita in the Bavli that one tefach off the ground is high enough. So of course it's high enough when you have it connected your shoulders, even on a very high doorway. Milsa de pshita. Plus, he says, we learn from the kshira of the tefillin, just like Shira al Adam, so to the Ksivas Knegat al Adam. So a bit of a Shvera comparison that he says, no? Hear what he's saying at the end? That just like the Kshira, the Tefillin is Begova what? Begova of the person. So to the Mezuzah is Begova of the person. What do you mean? There's not a mitzvah to put a Mezuzah on a person. There's a mitzvah to put tefillin on a person. So of course the tefillin. I thought it was a much better comparison to compare it to the lave. Okay, you don't put tefillin on the lave, you put a keneged the lave, so the mezuzah is keneged the person. But to say that just like the mitzvah kshir is on the person, the mitzvah ksiva, the mezuzah is on the person also, a little bit of a shver of art. Yeah.
If you say that the shmir is for a person and not for the house per se, then it could work.
Okay. The shmir is for the person, but again, I wouldn't compare that to the mitzvah kshira, which is a mitzvah begufo. It's a mitzvah on the person's body itself. The Kleisenberger adds a few more reasons to say like the Yerushalmi. You know, nothing to just mention them. The Rama and Reish Pei Hesiv Beis writes, Yeshormi Aniach Yadol Mezuzah V'Yomer Hashem Yishmatzesi. That there's a minhag quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, we learned about it, that you're supposed to put your hand on the mezuzah when you walk in and out of the room. It'd be very hard to do if the mezuzah is 30 feet up. Okay. So, likely, in very high door, meaning, assuming that that's megala to you, the makam of the mezuzah, it's not really such a great raya, because in a normal doorway, you'd put your hand on the mezuzah. And the other one, he quotes from Zohar, I never heard of this. Zohar in Parshas Nasa that says, Kosavarchu, the asu laharim yadav gavah meroshu chutzbi b'shas tefila. Not allowed to lift your hands over your head except when you're davening. So if you were to paskin like that, Zohar, you can't have the mezuzah too high because you can't lift your hands above your head. I don't know. So he says behechrech has to be negad hakasif. Right? And he says. He says, this Tosos l'shitasa. Why does Tosos paskin against the Yerushalmi? Tosos says it should be way up there. Not about the Zohar. He says, Tosos l'shitasa, because he says, why do I tell you that you should have it lower? Because the Ramah says you're supposed to touch the mezuzah on your way in, because the mezuzah is there for protection, and it's supposed to remind Yaakov Baruch Hu who's protecting you. Lishvar min amazikin. When we had a Gemara about Sakana, about hanging a mezuzah, achari adels, because of Sakana, vazak Tosos, what does Tosos say? Sakana, you're going to bang your head. Bang your head? So mezuzah, it's like a layup. Of course, it's all about Sakana, Shmira, this, that. So says the Kleisenberg, Tosfos didn't hold of all this stuff. He held the mezuzah as a mitzvah. Sakana means you're going to bang your head in the mitzvah. It doesn't mean anything else. So okay, so for Tosfos, he's going to say you put it way up on the doorway. Because you don't need the Shmira and everything else, which apparently is associated with the seeing the mezuzah and touching the mezuzah. That's also a shver of art, I think. Tosfos isn't denying the whole issue of Shemira. That's a Gemara also. It's a Gemara on the very next daf. It's just that Tosfos held that, you know, you wouldn't call Shemira Sakana. Understand? Like, if I'm not wearing a bulletproof vest today, it doesn't mean I'm walking around with Sakana all day. Just having a bulletproof vest would mean that if I happened to have a bullet shot at me, I'd stand a better chance. So Ishmira is not necessarily, the lack of Shmira is not necessarily the same as Sakana. That's quite a comparison to make. And the final issue with the very high doorposts is how high is high? So we said, the Avnei Nezer said, you know, if it's normal height. So what if it's an 8-foot doorway? That normal height, let's say, by Shaquille O'Neal's house. There's just a story about this in Sports Illustrated, how these guys can't sell their houses. They make these houses with all these things. Well, Shaquille O'Neal can't because it says Superman all over the place or whatever. It has his name everywhere. But, you know, like normal, humble people that are 7.5 feet tall, right? They also can't sell their house. They have everything fitted for them. They have everything, you know. So how high is high? So both Marsham and the Avnei Nezer quote the possibility that someone suggested it to both of them, that we should learn from Sukkah. What's the whole point of the mezuzah? Is that you should see, they shouldn't be way too high, so you should be able to see it. So what's the din by sukkah? That lemal mechaf amos is possible. Why? Because leman yedu dor esechem ki besukos hashavti es bnei Yisrael. You sit in the sukkah so that future generations will know ki besukos hashavti. Which means that when you're sitting in sukkah, you have to realize that you're in a sukkah. If you don't realize you're in a sukkah, it's no good. If it's lemal mechaf amos, you're not going to realize that you're in a sukkah. That's what the Gemara says in the first daf of Masechta Sukkah. That's what we learn from the man yedu dor esechem. That's the famous Bach. that the Torah quotes Machlokas in Sukkot Daf Yud Aleph. What's the man yedu dor sechem to know what? To remember what? Kippur Sukkot Shavti. So two days in the Gemara in Tanaim, either to remember the Anani HaKavod or to remember Sukkot Mamish, and the Torah paskins on that Machlokas. So Bach says, what's he paskining for? It's Machlokas not Gadata. Who cares? It's for this, it's for that, whatever. So the Bach says, no, it's a din that when you sit in Sukkah, you must remember what you're supposed to remember. Leman yedu doroseichem. The Torah is telling you, it's not just mitzvah shichas kavana, that where all you need is kavana to do the mitzvah, and the kavanos of the mitzvah aren't necessary. By Sukkah, it's mefurish in the Torah, leman yedu doroseichem. So you need to know why you're doing it. And the only way to know is by being reminded by seeing it, leman lechavam. But that's why the Torah paskins, because you need to know one way or the other. Okay, fine. Mishabur is machmir like that, lechatila. You should try to remember both Sukkot Mamish and Ananiya Kavod to be able to say that sheet of the Bach. But Lamal Mechavam, that's what they suggest. So why is it wrong? Let's say you have an 18 amma high doorway. Let's assume an amma is 2 feet. So you have a 36 foot high doorway. So you can say, oh, then I'll do Shlisha Elyon. Because then I'll see it. Why is it totally wrong? So difference is, how long are you in your sukkah for? 7 days, right? Mustama, at some point you'll see the schach. Even an hour, 2 hours. How long are you in your doorway for? About the split second that it takes you to walk through the doorway. So you're not going to see anything. So it's not going to help you if it's way high up. So Avnezer says, you have to use your seichel. You have to figure out what people would see, what people won't see. If some people would see, good. If it's not some people would see, then fine. Then you got to adjust it. That's how the Avnei Nezer says. Okay. On the flip side, the Nesivus in his Siddur Derech Chaim says that not anywhere above shoulder height. If Shlisha Aliyah is anywhere above shoulder height, lower it to shoulder height. That's also quite a chiddush. Right? Pashtus is that's not what we mean. Gavoa Harbe, Tazman to Gavoa Harbe. Anywhere above shoulder height. Okay, so you gotta use some seichel. These shailas come up all the time. Okay, let's move on though to the structure of the actual doorway itself. This probably the number one shaila that I have to actually paskin for people who move into homes, more so than which rooms need a mezuzah and don't, which also gets interesting with walk-in closets and boiler rooms and storage facilities. You know, we'll get into all that stuff. Whether those things need a mezuzah, don't need a mezuzah, right side going in, right side going out, all that stuff. But the more common shaila that people don't even realize is a shaila is what's called a doorway. Let's say, for instance, if you've ever been to my house, I have a walk into my house, there's a big living room. Not so big. You make a left into the living room, and then right in front of you is the dining room. Now, the dining room doesn't have an archway, it doesn't have doorposts. What the dining room is the wall of the living room continues straight on one side, and on the other side it narrows from the living room and goes straight that way. So it's just walls. One is the wall of the living room that continues straight through the dining room into the living room. The other is the wall of the living room goes perpendicular on a right angle and then, you know, turns up into the dining room. So does that entrance, it's clear where the dining room starts, the living room ends pretty much. Do you get a mezuzah there? So what do you need to be chayv mezuzah? What has to be there to be chayv mezuzah? So says Shulchan Aruch, Eina pasach chayv mezuzah, elam ken yesh l'shtei, this is in the next packet, elam ken yesh l'shtei mezuzahs mashkov, resh pei zayin sefal. A pesach is only chayv mezuzah if you have two doorposts and a mashkov. Right, the top piece. That's when it's chayv mezuzah. Tremendous. A lot of times, you have in houses, especially, you know, central colonials, more classically, built houses, usually have doorposts everywhere. But like a split level house or a high ranch or a ranch or something like that, very often will have a lot of places. I'm generalizing just based on what I've seen, but we'll have a lot of places. I know in my house where there are places where there are doorposts on two sides. But then there's nothing on top. It's just the ceiling of the room that comes down. My dining room's like that. The ceiling comes down. It's just that's the ceiling of the room. There's nothing on top other than the ceiling of the room. The ceiling ends right by the doorway, maybe, and then goes up to the next room or whatever. But it's just the ceiling of the room. I'm trying to think of a Over here, it's a clear doorpost. But let's say these doorposts went straight up to the ceiling. You didn't have this. This went straight up to the ceiling, hollowed out. So would this need a mezuzah? The Shulchan Aruch sounds like he's saying, in order to be chayav mezuzah, you need shtei mezuzahs of mashkov. So this is not so pashut. Not so pashut at all. If you take a look, the sugya is here. The sugya is Lamed Dalet and Lamed Alef in Menachos. So the Gemara over here in Lamed Dalet, and how you understand this Gemara is going to have huge ramifications la halacha. Rav Papa Iklu Bei Mar Shmuel. Rav Papa goes to Mar Shmuel's house. Chazu Upischad Lahavle El Patsim Echad Mismala. He saw that there was only one doorpost on the left side. Vavidele Mezuzah. And nevertheless, there was a Mezuzah there. I'm like, come on, Krem Meir? Who are you going like? You're assuming like Krem Meir? Amr Domer Meir Miyamin. Mismol Miyamar. Rameir holds, when you have one door posted, it is chayv and mezuzah, but that's only if it's on the right side, not on the left side. Says Ramahi, where does it ever say this about Rameir? What's all this about? Titania, beischa bi'ascha minayimin. How do I know that you put mezuzah on the right side? Beischa, we learn bi'ascha minayimin. That the way you go in is by the right side. Okay, the Gemara figures out how we know that, not so partial. But we know it. Okay, that it's got to be on the right side. Few lines later, my Rav Meir, two lines before they get wide, where do we have the sheet of Rav Meir that one doorpost is enough to be chayv mezuzah? The Tanya bay she'en lo el patzim echad, Rav Meir mechayv mezuzah chum potrim. I'm assuming the word patzim means doorpost. House is only one doorpost, Rav Meir says chayv mezuzah chum say potter. My time to Rabban, where did Rabban get the idea that you're potter? Mezuzos ksiv. Chsavta ma mezuzos pesach. If you don't have two mezuzos, two doorposts, then you're potter. My time with Rameir, where Rameir got the idea that you're chayiv. Titania mizuzos, shomei ani miyut mizuzos shtayim. From the word mizuzos, I would already know it means two. Kshor mizuzos parashashniya, shein tam lomar avi ribuyach ribuy. But then in the next parasha, it again says mizuzos. Why does it have to say mizuzos twice? It's a double ribuy. Double ribuy is a miyut. And ribuyach ribuy alamayit, and miyut ha'akasav mizuzah, achas divrei bishmal. So it must mean that it's one mizuzah. Rabbi Kiva says, no, al mashkov al shtei mezuzos. Why does it have to say shtei mezuzos? That implies that in general, when by the Dam Pesach, right, by the putting of the blood of the Korban Pesach, so where did they put it? Al mashkov al shtei mezuzos. Why didn't they say al mashkov yala mezuzos? Mezuzos is plural. I'll know it means shtei mezuzos. So why does it say shtei? So that's coming to be Megala, the Kol HaTorah Kulo. Whenever it says mezuzos, it only means one. And that's where we get the idea that even if you have only one doorpost, chayv mezuzah. What's clear in the Gemara? That if your one doorpost is on the left side and not on the right side, you're potter from mezuzah. What's also clear is machlok shemei and chachamim. If you have one doorpost and it's on the right side, happens all the time. Very often you'll have a wall that just goes straight and on one side, let's say on this side of the room, just goes straight, and the other side, oh good, we have multiple walls. You can't do better than this. So on this side, it just goes in like this. I'm going to get in trouble. It goes in like this, let's say, right? So this is one room, and out here is another room. But on that side, I have a straight wall over here. I have a mezuzah. I have a doorpost. So I'm a chayv mezuzah over here. So if it were going this way, so that's a straight wall, there's no mezuzah on that side. It's just a wall. Over here, it's not just a wall. The shaila is, and we're going to discuss this tomorrow, Mirtzah Hashem, is, what about this? Is this called a wall, or is this called a mezuzah? It stops short, so does this make it a doorpost? That one doesn't stop short, it keeps going. But does this make it a doorpost because it stops short? Rashayk Salim. So that is going to be our discussion tomorrow. All of these very difficult, complicated shailas. Okay, so Mirtzah Hashem, we will get to that. And the archways. Archways, you got to see Yuma Dafir Alu. There will be a 10 minute halacha shir tonight.